It's the movie everyone's talking about.
We are dream girls, boys, we'll make it happy, yeah.
Dreamgirls took Broadway by storm in 1981, and now the story of a black girl group based loosely on Diana Ross and the Supremes is going into wide release at multiplexes for Christmas.
Effie, do you hear this? We're singing behind him early tonight.
I don't do backup.
Now you look, Effie. This could be our big break.
The cast, including Beyoncé Knowles, Jamie Foxx, Eddie Murphy, and Jennifer Hudson, is also getting some pre-Oscar buzz. Bill Condon wrote and directed Dreamgirls, and NPR's Farai Chidea recently sat down with him at the studios of NPR West.
This movie has the potential to be a total box office smash, especially the nominations that are going to players, including Eddie Murphy, Beyoncé Knowles, Jennifer Hudson. What do you want to come out of this movie? Not just necessarily money, but what do you want to come out of it?
Well, you know, I love musicals and I love musical movies. And, you know, it's almost become a private interest because there have been so few of them over recent years. But when you see this movie with an audience and to see them respond the way they have been, applauding and, you know, in the middle of the movie, applauding the other numbers, that to me is very exciting, you know, and I can't wait. You know, we've done everything but open nationwide, and that happens on Christmas Day, and that's going to be the real test. But I hope that it's an experience that a lot of people aren't used to, that they'll embrace, because it is different.
I have to say, and I know this is not necessarily your department, but I was clothes shopping the entire movie. I want those outfits. I was like, wow, that would be really good. Can I get someone to make that for me? Because the whole thing is so glamorous.
That is the brilliant Sharon Davis, you know, because, you know, it's tough sometimes, especially with 70s fashion. If you do it literally, it's a little frightening, you know. So she would get to the essence of something, but make it beautiful.
How did you put it together? And what I mean is, I've got to find the right cast, or I've got to find the money first. What was the process?
Well, you know what? There are two words there, David Geffen. You know, it's one of those experiences. He truly is the last tycoon. He controlled the rights to the show. He'd been one of the producers of the show. I wrote the script. I remember so well. It was January 3rd, 2005, that I called him, and someone came and picked it up. And 2 hours later, he'd read half of it. 4 hours later, he'd read the whole thing. By the end of the week, you know, he was announcing it, and we were in offices the following week. That will never happen to me again, you know, because it really is just one person believing in something and making it happen.
You have, with the exception of a few cameo roles, including John Lithgow, a virtually all-black cast.
Yes.
Did it scare you to go in and work with a whole cast made up of people who are different race than you?
I'm always a little intimidated by anything I'm stepping into, you know. In this case, let's not forget the fact that it was, you know, legends like Danny Glover and Eddie Murphy and Jamie Foxx, so that was intimidating in and of itself. But yeah, I think it's a legitimate question. I think the thing that made that go away very quickly was that you're always on the right track if you connect so deeply in your soul to the material that you're working on.
How did you work with the cast of actors that you had? You had some who were way more experienced, like Danny Glover,
yes,
than others who were newer, like Jennifer Hudson, breakout star.
Yes.
How did you interact with them and shape them so that they could interact with each other?
Yeah. It's the same on any movie. It was maybe more extreme here because of those differences. But you really, I always think a director's got to adapt to whatever the needs of the actor are, you know. So take someone like Eddie Murphy, who's not a big fan of rehearsal. You know, he comes out of stand-up. It's all about it capturing the moment in the moment, you know.
Eddie Murphy was phenomenal.
Oh, I know what's happening. I've been around. Making my way through every town. I make my living off of my sound.
All I wanted to do, though, was go up and just say, come on, man, let go of that hairdo. You got to let go of that hairdo. But it was perfect for the film,
yeah,
but it was
exactly.
Just like that hairdo was like a character in itself.
Oh, totally. And it was so real. But, you know, he took this so seriously, he actually shaved his hairline so that we could create this receding kind of, you know, Lou Rawls hair for him in the 1970s.
So tell us the truth. Were there any Dreamgirls moments, like little cat fights, Jennifer Hudson, Anika Noni Rose, Beyonce?
I'm sorry. There weren't. It was weird, you know. Maybe if we'd gone on longer, it would have happened, you know.
Girl, get out of my dress.
Everyone felt like they had a responsibility to live up to this, to the legend of this show. And I think everyone was a little scared, too. And that, you know, people, were always stretching themselves. You know, Eddie had never done this kind of performing. Beyonce had never done this kind of acting. So I think that kept everybody really kind of just rooting for each other, basically.
Have to ask you about Jennifer Holliday, different
yes.
Jennifer.
Yes.
Did you make overtures to her to try to bring her into the production, even in a small level, or she was so known for singing the song that that Jennifer Hudson now does spectacularly?
Yeah. No, it didn't seem right. It didn't seem to me fair, honestly, to our new cast to do something like that. As you know, there is a small cameo for Loretta Devine, but that was a part that I'd written before I ever thought of that. And I thought she'd be perfect for that part and would give it extra resonance because she's singing about a character who she was in love with in the show originally, you know. But I thought beyond that, it would be one of those things that would continually take you out of the movie, you know, just be suddenly spotting this person or the other person. Jennifer Hudson does something that's completely different, and I think that was the key to our approach. It was just like, you can't do Jennifer Holliday. She's one of a kind, and no one's ever going to do that better. You've got to find your Effie.
And
male or female, who would you be if you could be one of the characters in Dreamgirls?
Oh, wow, that's a good one. You know, probably CeCe, you know. Probably not, you know, he's the dreamer, and he's the one who's sitting there with his notebook. And
He's the one who writes the songs that makes everyone else famous.
Yeah, he's the Smokey Robinson character, and I always thought he was, you know, one of the great heroes of the Motown movement.
I'd like to be Effie, but without the bad attitude. I guess then she wouldn't be Effie.
That's right.
One last question. What's this film about, ultimately, if you had to sum it up in a word or a sentence?
It's a cautionary tale, frankly, about staying aware as you pursue your dreams of the cost, you know, and realizing a dream, but losing your soul can destroy you.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
The only trouble is...
That was Bill Condon, director and writer of Dreamgirls. He spoke with NPR's Faraj Dea. Dreamgirls, the movie, opens in theaters across the country Christmas Day. That's our show for today. Thank you so much for being with us. To listen to the show, visit npr.org. News and Notes was created by NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium.